Hey guys, what's going on?
How are you?
Yeah, doing good. I don't know if I'm doing good.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, that was honest. I like that. I like that because there is no more canned response in life than when you ask another person how they're doing. It's the stupidest thing that we do. What a waste of time. How you doing? Oh, I'm good.
Yeah, doing good. I don't know if I'm doing good.
No, you're not.
No,
you're not.
I love that answer.
You're not doing good, but if you're honest about it, that's like what grandparents do. Hey, Grandma, how you doing?
Give me some Ellen Willard.
My poop is blue. Oh, for crying out loud. Like, I don't want to... Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't...
It's normally me who works that material in, by the way.
You don't want that answer. You don't want that answer.
Nope.
Yep. But that's what we do.
It is what we
do. Salutation sensation.
It's a buck, and I mean, really,
cha-ching!
How you doing just means like, hello, good afternoon.
Hello, yeah.
Hello, Larry King. But instead, hey, how you doing? We say how you doing because we want to show more empathy than we actually really want to show.
Right.
Because when I ask you how you're doing, I think you understand that I really mean, how are you doing? Well, it means, how are you doing? Because you and I spend umpteen hours a week together, and so I'm more in tune with like how you're actually doing.
The flow of
life. But if I bump into whoever out there in the pit and say, hey, how you doing? I don't really want to know how you're doing.
Right. But if you see a friend that you haven't seen in 5 years, how are you doing? You hear the difference in the tone?
Totally.
Like, how are you doing? Yep. How are the kids? Are they okay? Like, how's your marriage? How's your parents? Yeah. How's your, like... Yeah, it's different.
Funny you say that because I'm actually just reached out to the brother of your former nemesis.
The brother of my former nemesis.
When you played Little League Baseball, whom were you most afraid of? His older brother is a college friend, and so I just reached out with a how you doing.
It's a little much to call him my nemesis.
But
he terrified me.
Ben Igo.
Yeah, he terrified me because I batted second, and my good friend Trent Tesler batted first, and Ben hit him right between the shoulder blades.
Right between the blades.
In the first pitch of the game, and then they're like, all right, now you're up. And I'm like, I don't go up there.
No.
Ben Igo has no idea where the ball's going.
And he throws hard.
Yeah, dude.
Tall kid, blonde hair. Good family lineage, but I'm going to meet up with his brother, his older brother. So I had him.
Matt, right?
No, Scott is the oldest.
Is there a Matt? Okay, good.
And a Susan and a Becky.
Yep.
I believe Ben is in the middle. Where's he at? He's in the middle.
Okay.
But I reached out to Scott with a, how you doing? But it really meant, how are you doing?
Yeah. I'd like to ask that to Buster Posey. Because has anybody noticed, as much as I'll stand by what I said yesterday, Giants, you are pot committed. You don't get Rafi Devers and then sell at the deadline. That's just dumb.
No.
However, I will also acknowledge, boy, this has turned prickly, hasn't it? Like, okay, Giants, you're one game over 500. Your playoff odds have dipped below 20%. And the deadline is 48 hours away. Almost exactly, right? 3 o'clock on Thursday?
Yep.
48 hours to go. 55, actually. And what do you do? What do you do that looks correct? You know, like if the Giants take a big swing and go get a power bat, it's like, it's almost like, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? You're four games out of the third wild card. Why'd you do that? But they're pot committed, like I said, so they probably will.
Or they'll do maybe very little, and that, I think, is... more likely for me because I think about Buster Posey and job security, and we always look at it in through this lens where Buster Posey is probably 99.99% sure that he's coming back next year, no matter how this ends. Bob Melvin, different number, and we can get into that as we go.
Pretty close.
Well, I think it's less than 99.99.
I'd be shocked if Bob Melvin was not the manager next year.
I would also be very surprised. Yeah. I would put that at... you know, maybe 85 to 90% if this thing continues to devolve into a debacle. But if you're Buster, you're not feeling the pressure of 47 hours and 53 minutes. You're thinking about building this thing long term.
Exactly.
And that's why I don't think that they will go out and make a big swing that would cost you Wizenhunter, Eldridge.
Yeah,
or,
no, I agree with that. But what, like, what would we define as a big swing? You know, like, I think they're probably looking real hard at three things: starting pitcher, second base, and a power right-handed bat that probably is someone who can play right field. I think those are the three things. I don't think that they'll cover all of them, but I would not be surprised at all if the Giants make more than one deal. I would not be surprised one bit if there are multiple deals to be made. I don't think that they will involve Eldridge or Wizenhunt.
Right. So yeah. That's where I guess my bar is set. So if you're going to go out there and make a big swing for a big-time player, I think that either Wizenhunt or Eldridge would most likely be involved. And if you're not going to trade either one of them, well, now we're looking, for me, at the middle of the market. And I know that Kyle joined us yesterday.
Kyle Haynes,
director of the minor league system. And he likes his farm more than we all like his farm. But right. I wonder if other teams are looking at their farm and thinking, well, there's a guy who we'd love to have, and we'll give you our power-hitting outfielder. We'll give you our legitimate number three or number four starter. I just don't know if they have the arrows in their quiver to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think we also have to remember deadline deals are not what they used to be. Like, it's very rare now that teams are giving up their absolute top prospects at the deadline because – so many of those people are rentals. They're coming in for a short period of time, or they need big raises, and teams are really hesitant to do that. That's why a lot of them are even on the market. Some of them may not be free agents at the end of the year, but you know that they are going to be free agents soon, and you're not going to pay them, and so you're ready to move on from them. If you do look around at the deals that happen that involve people's top prospects, they happen well before the deadline. Like Juan Soto to San Diego, like Rafael Devers to San Francisco. They happen earlier, and then they involve people's top prospects. But I don't really see anybody on the market right now who's going to command someone else's number one prospect. I don't even know who that would be. Do you know what I mean? And in some cases, the person who that would be has already been pulled off of the market. You know, take Seth Lugo in Kansas City. He signed an extension. He's not going anywhere. So anyway, yeah, for me, Bryce Eldridge is off the table. I know the Giants don't like using that phraseology. Bryce Eldridge, to me, is not going anywhere.
Agreed. And I think that, you know, where you are with starting pitching right now, you're not going to trade Carson Wizenhunt, no matter how you felt about his debut. And I thought that his debut was fine. He was a little shaky early. And, you know, you give up the home run on the changeup, and then you had a little trouble with that fastball command that Kyle was talking about yesterday. But I do think that he's got, especially as a left-hander, he's got a nice pitch mix that will play at the big league level. And right now you don't have enough starters anyway, so I don't think that he's going to be the guy who you dangle.
I agree. Mac in San Francisco, next up, 888-957-9570. Mac, what are you doing?
I'm just working.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, not right now.
No, I was just calling to let you know that I think maybe one of the best things for them to do would be get something small. Because, again, like you said, I don't think they can do anything huge unless you're going to do Eldridge or Wizard, which I don't think they're going to do. The guy I would like them to see get, which would be a perfect guy because he could be penciled in every day at second base playing leadoff, is that kid in Miami, Xavier, and he's got speed.
Yeah, I don't, you know what, I'm not going to disagree with you, and thanks, Mac. I don't hear a whole lot of buzz about the Miami Marlins dealing some of those guys other than Alcantara, their starter who has such a history. I do think that he may be on the move, but a lot of those young guys in Miami, they're still cheap for a while, and that's what Miami likes. So I know that you dangle them early in the hopes of somebody being like, yeah, we'll give you – you know, we'll give you something great out of our system. But I could be wrong. I have a feeling, though, that other than Sandy Alcantara, and that's only a possibility, I think the Marlins guys are going to be quiet.
Agreed. The one that I think about maybe just because he's a local kid is Joe Ryan, a guy who's had a great year with Minnesota.
And that's going to be pricey.
It could be, but, you know, he does come up. I'm looking here that he becomes arbitration eligible. So if Minnesota is not going to want to give him $20 million next year. They might want to just, you know, cut bait now because they're not going anywhere.
How many arb years do we have left on Joe Ryan? How many arbs does he got?
Earliest arbitration eligible is 2026. So he becomes arb eligible next year and then free agent in 2028. So you'd have two arbs. I mean, and we can get into this with the Bryce Harper discussion
Let's get into this.
If you want to get into it, this to me is, if I'm a player, as much as Flaccid Rob wants a cap, if I'm a player and I'm Joe Ryan, who's been great, and I got to sit for two more years before I get what's coming to me.
You're 100% right.
So we'll get into it.
But that's why Bryce Harper was wrong.
That's why he was absolutely right.
No, just first of all, the quick teaser is this. Rob Manfred is going into all the clubhouses and trying to talk about, it's kind of a pre-discussion about coming negotiations for collective bargaining in baseball. And baseball needs to change its business model, period. It has to.
Both ways.
Yes, absolutely. But the idea of a salary cap comes up, and Harper basically tells Manfred, get out of our clubhouse. Get the bleep.
Yeah, Bryce.
Out of our clubhouse.
Let him know.
Except for Manfred is absolutely within the right to look at him and go, no. How about that? Which is exactly what happened, but that news came to light yesterday, and I think there's a lot to be said about it, and it affects the Giants 100%. So we'll get to that. Coming up next, remember that coming up at 4:30 today, the Valkyries are taking on the Atlanta Dream. The game is on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Download the app, search Valkyries, you'll see it. You can also watch the game on KPIX pregame at 4. We're brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
I shouldn't do this. Like, I mean, we're here for all of you. We're here to talk about what you want to talk about and have some fun doing it. But every now and again, I like to use the fact that we have this platform and therefore there's a lot of people who know things that I don't know, and I want to like utilize that sometimes. So I'm getting texts from the kids that apparently there's a dead skunk under the deck at the house.
Oh boy.
And we've been able to smell it, but like skunks in my neighborhood, that's not a rare thing.
Right.
So it's just kind of like whatever, it'll go away, but it's not going away. And so one of the kids just took a quick look under the deck and he's like, there's a dead skunk under there. And so like, am I supposed to like do something about that? Like, can I go down there with a big pair of barbecue tongs or something and take care of this myself? Or is this an animal control thing?
Well, this is the beauty
of... What is your expertise on this?
Well, and my gut on this is it's a classic case of tenant versus owner.
Oh,
tenant,
okay, yes.
Versus owner.
I am not an owner. I'm a renter.
Correct. So,
yeah.
So as a tenant, that to me is a phone call.
Okay.
Hey, Bob, it's Mark, and we have the situation where we've got Pepe Le Pew, RIP, under our deck. I'm going to need you to call somebody to come out here and get this. All right, call me back when you get a minute. Beep. Tenant versus owner. Now, okay. For me, as the owner...
Owner's great, great guy. Very, very
sure.
Yeah, very helpful if something's
in this
needed.
Situation, the first call I make is to Guru.
Oh.
That way he can put me in touch with the good people at ATCO Pest Control.
Oh.
Yeah, so,
I guess we could do that.
Sure, and
Guru, text me. There, yeah. I just got in touch with Guru.
There you go. And again, I mean, and you could put your people in touch with their people and have it taken care of. But that for me is a classic tenant versus owner situation where as the tenant, like, I'm going to need you to come in here and take care of this.
Yeah,
for me.
And apparently it's not looking good down there. Like, it's one thing if an animal is just kind of like they've passed away. But Abe reports it as, quote, gross as S.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the text that I just got.
Normally it would be gross as F, but I'll allow gross as S.
Yeah, he went with S.
And is it for sure dead?
Oh, it apparently.
Well,
He said he looked down there, he saw it right away.
I was at Pop Pop's house over the weekend and we heard a noise and my wife actually was like, what's that noise? And I said, oh, it's just the water going down the sink in the kitchen. And well, the water drained out of the sink and 7 minutes later we heard the same noise. And she said, that's not the sink, dude. She said, something's in the closet, the hall closet.
Oh.
And so you crack open the door, and...
what was it?
Either Mickey or Minnie.
Oh.
Who had gotten into the trap and wasn't doing great.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah. Pop, pop.
I'm such a softie. I hate that. Like, I know that's what it's for.
I hate to see it.
Yeah.
So, Pop, Pop fills up a bucket of water, and now we're going to go ahead and see if Minnie and or Mickey can swim. Spoiler alert, they can't. And then bag them and tag them, green bin, and we're on to Cincinnati.
Wow.
So, there you have it.
Okay.
But, again, tenant versus owner.
Okay.
He's the owner, and so... You got no one to call.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna wash my hands of this situation, and then I will probably wash my hands after this situation.
You should
as well.
Yeah.
All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. So here's kind of and this started this morning. I'm doing my run and I'm listening to Grandy and Chasky talk about this Bryce Harper Rob Manfred thing. And it sparked a lot of thought, which is the idea. So they did a really good job. But I was sitting here because real quick, Shasky's thought was, no, not salary cap, salary floor, but just salary floor. And then Grandy was just like, you know, yay players. Like, I'm on the player's side here. And basically the idea was, Rob Manfred is going clubhouse to clubhouse. I'm sure he did it with the Giants as well. And he's bringing up the idea of a salary cap. And the players are like, hell no, we're not doing that. And then their lead dog, Bryce Harper, is like, ooh, this is an opportunity for all my teammates to love me long time and get the fans all on my side. Hey, Rob, you get the F out of my clubhouse.
Love it.
If you're going to be talking about a salary cap in here. And here would be my response. Hey, Bryce. I know you think you just got all of your teammates and the fans on your side, but I wonder if for a moment you could go ask a fan base that's also in your state, but not your fan base, happens to be a fan base that's visiting here this week. Go ask a Pirates fan if they would like a salary cap or if we would like to continue to parade around as the Phillies, Mets, Dodgers, Cubs, Padres, Red Sox, Yankees, Blue Jays, whatever, all the same teams that make the playoffs every year and act like they've achieved something, even though what they've actually done is simply press their leverage button. That's all they're doing. So Bryce does something that's really popular because everybody hates Rob Manfred, and I get that. He doesn't deserve to be a popular guy. But if you stop and think about what he's saying for a second, what he's actually saying is, hey, guys, our business model, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Look around at the other sports. Look around at the fact that Jacksonville can compete and Green Bay can compete and Indianapolis was in the NBA Finals just last month. Look around at that. Do we have that? No, we don't have that and we need that. So, instead of telling Rob Manfred, hey, get the F out of my clubhouse, why don't the players use the leverage that they have? And I agree. Here's where I think you and I agree. If you guys want a salary cap, owners, okay, we want a salary floor. We also want, once we come out of the minor leagues, we'd like to sign a rookie contract. And when it's over, we'd like to be free agents.
That's right, yeah.
And if that rookie contract is only 2 years, it's only 2 years. But you could take this arbitration piece of crap where you control us for 5 years from the minute we step foot on a Major League Baseball
field. On a Major League field.
Right. That may mean that we spent 3 years on minor league fields and we're going to almost be 30 years old before we can control our own lives and career. You could take that system and throw that into Max Muncy's ocean as well. And if you do that, then maybe we'll have a salary cap.
Then we can have an actual conversation.
Yes.
And it's not even when you set foot on a major league roster, because if you get called up and then you get sent down, your clock stops temporarily as far as your major league service goes. And I don't think about a salary cap as the answer, but a salary floor absolutely is. And you mentioned Pittsburgh, and I don't know who the owner is until I just Googled it. And I don't even know if you know this man. The man's name is Bob Nutting.
I do not know this man.
Bob Nutting.
Heard that name, though.
That's the level of interest he has in spending on his team.
Uh-huh.
Nutting. He has nutting interest in spending. He's worth more than $1 billion, Lucas. You can throw your hands up all you want, director of sports. What are you going to do about it? Nutting. Thank you. I brought that home. He took over the team.
It's a four.
Thank you. He took over the team in 2007. Since then, the Pirates have been bottom five in opening day payroll in all but 3 years.
Yep.
And in those 3 years, 24th, 20th, and 24th, I don't even want to bore you with the John Fisher comp, but he's worth more than $1.1 billion, and they're always at the bottom as well. So miss me with the salary cap. And as we learned this year from the Dodgers, cap schmap, because they can go ahead and defer 80% of the income for Shohei Ohtani and the rest of it. The real issue is the salary floor. You have so many teams that could give a crap. I don't know Bob Nutting personally, but if his payroll is $70 million, can you go out and make $70 million by having a major league team? You're damn right you can.
I mean, by the end of the first right. 3 weeks, yes.
And he's got stars. He's got two of the 10 or 20 youngest, biggest, brightest stars.
Uh-huh.
You've got a team that's not terrible.
Do you realize how offensive it is that Paul Skeens, who, by the way, I think either it just turned 23 or he's about to, you know, that's how offensive it is that there's already talk about where they're going to trade him. Do you know when Paul Skeens is available to the market?
As a free agent?
Yeah.
I would say we're going to have probably 2032. Maybe not that long. 2030?
That's correct.
Yeah.
2030. This guy has already established himself as one of the absolute best players in the game. He does not yet make $1 million. He is Brock Purdy with a baseball uniform. However, the difference is, when will they let him out of this hole? 5 years from now, when he's almost 30? That's bananas.
Yep.
That's bananas. And it's horrible for the game that somebody who has that much team control, somewhat cost controlled from now until then, is already being discussed as trade bait. Also known as future Dodger or future Yankee.
Right.
So if that's how you're going to handle it when you get a generational talent in a market like Pittsburgh or any of the others, Las Vegas, for example,
yeah.
If that's how you're going to handle it, why are you even here? If I were a Pirates fan, and Guru, I guarantee you, is agreeing with me on this because he does have an affinity for the Pirates, like, why are you here? What is your reason for existing? What's your point? Just because the Dodgers need to play someone? There are so many Washington Generals franchises running around Major League Baseball right now. It's not even funny. And that's the actual problem. I'd also say this. I don't know if Rob Manfred had the wherewithal to say this when Bryce Harper started cussing at him. But why don't you look right at everybody and go, do you realize that the NFL doesn't even have a soft cap? It has a hard cap. Go ahead and ask their Bryce Harpers, the quarterbacks. You guys having a hard time finding money? Anyone? Is this salary cap thing just killing everybody's earning power in the NFL? The Cincinnati Bengals just decided to rock $70 million a year on two wide receivers. People are still making money.
But that's
money.
Missing the greater point.
What's the greater point?
The greater point is, on a 53-man NFL team, you've got 40 guys who are making less than $3 or $4 million, and all of them are subject to instant termination.
Mm-hmm.
So in baseball, it's like that, but it's like that in a different way, where you're not going to get terminated because your deal's guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
But you've got 6 years of making peanuts.
Right, but the NFL, the reason for that, what you just laid out, the reason for that is because of the occurrence of injury. Owners need to protect themselves because NFL teams go into a season and they know, by the way, we're going to have to sign a bunch more people. Because half of you are going to break your legs and you're not going to be able to finish the season.
But even though it's capped, it's hard capped. Like, Brock Purdy next year will make about 20% of the team's cap.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's that important. He's the quarterback, but it's the cap is limiting other players' ability to go out there and make the money that they think that they should be able to make.
See, I don't necessarily agree with that.
If it was uncapped, you'd have high-spending teams like the Niners and like the other big market teams, they would be able to spend more money on guys.
No, well, but what you also see, though, is a lot of them, nobody just decides, now we're only going to spend $30 million this year. Which is what baseball has. Nobody right. does that in football.
Because football, you're going to make that money regardless. Like, even if you are Carolina and you spend every dollar of the cap, which is about $200 million or so, I don't know the exact number, even though you're Carolina, you're going to make money. If you're Pittsburgh and you stink and you spend $70 million in payroll, you could still turn a nice, tidy little profit.
But you can do that in baseball, too, by the way. They are profiting, which is why they won't turn over their books. They are profiting still, number one. But number two, this is, like any other company, our companies in our industry do this too. They start to talk to individuals in contract negotiations and explain to them the nature of the business and where it's going. And I'm sorry to tell you, Bryce Harper, your business is not booming and sustainable in a way that it could be if you would involve all of the teams. Like, how do the Pirates make more money? This is a classic invest money to make money. How do the Pirates or the A's or the Marlins make more money? I don't know. How about actually have a shot? How about actually have a chance at a player you'd want to see? How about have a chance at first place, just like all the small markets in the NFL, to a lesser degree the NBA, but they do. They have a chance to go out there and actually compete. Not in baseball. Not in baseball. So again, all I'm saying, I'm not saying, hey, if you're players, oh yeah, just agree to a salary cap. But if it came along with it, a salary floor and a change to the arbitration system, which holds players down for too long in their career, that's a win for everybody.
That I agree with, but I don't agree with the idea of, you know, spending to win, because it's risky. If I walk into a Vegas casino with $500 cash in my pocket, if I walk by all the tables and I go up to my room and I still have $500 in my pocket, that is a safer bet than risking my $500 to win $2,000 or get zero. And that's what baseball is. You've got Pittsburgh, who has a low payroll, and their owner realizes that if I keep the payroll down, the risk for me to lose money is much less, as opposed to you go out and you're the Giants, and it's an apt example right now because their payroll is $200 million, and if they wind up 80 and 82 yet again, and you don't get that, you know, playoff revenue, they're not going to lose a ton of money because this is a big market and people care about it, but the risk of spending $200 million is greater than being Pittsburgh, where you spend $70 in payroll and you're pretty sure you're going to break even at worst.
Again, I'm not saying that everybody needs to do like they do in the NFL, which is bump up against the top of the cap, but there needs to be a salary floor, and it doesn't even need to necessarily be that high, but it needs to be a competitive balance floor to where a team is committing to try to win baseball games, because that's the point. That's what we're doing here. If you don't like that, then don't buy a baseball team. But outside of that, the idea that you can buy a baseball team, know full well that its value as a franchise just continues to rise.
Yep.
Rise. And that's beach real estate. You don't have to worry about that part of it. But then at the same time, you're worried about losing a few bucks 1 year, knowing, by the way, that even if you did, let's say your operating costs, you lost $50 million, but the value of your franchise went up $150 during that time, who gives a rip? That's the business. That's what you're doing here. And by the way, you might not lose money. You might actually win, and you might fill your ballpark. Look around at how many ballparks are absolutely half or more empty in these games when the good teams visit. It's not the way it should be.
And I wonder about Detroit this year as an example of what you're saying, because Detroit is good.
They're really
good. And Detroit's trending toward maybe doing something special or something that they don't normally do. Kansas City had that little run in the 20-teens where, you know, you lost to the Giants, then you won a World Series.
And,
you know, Kansas City, a similar story. And Tampa's had little mini runs and the Marlins along the way. But in general, I think that part of it, I'm with you. Salary floor, absolutely. I don't know about a salary cap. And the other piece that really kind of bothered me about Rob Manfred is he's already talking about a lockout. And we're now a year and a half away from the CBA expiring. He's already like trying to weaponize that as something that he's putting in the player's face? That to me is bad faith bargaining already from Rob.
No, look, I don't like that word either. I agree with you there. Again, I certainly am not sitting here saying that I now love Rob Manfred. I just
love Manfred.
I don't. I don't at all. But I don't think he deserves to be cussed out because he's bringing up a salary cap. There are caps in the NBA. There are caps in the NFL. And everybody is doing fine. For God's sake, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is about to make $1 million a game. $1 million a game.
But those are the top-tier guys, you know?
That's who was yelling at Rob Manfred.
Right.
That's who was yelling at him. The guy who's got over $330 million in his most recent contract. A cap is not going to stop that kind of thing from happening. It's not. But if you used it as leverage to get a floor, I mean, put it this way. If I was the 23rd guy on the roster in the Phillies,
right,
and Mr. 330 mil over here is screaming at Rob Manfred to get the hell out of the building, I might quietly be like, hey, Bryce, Could we listen to him?
Can we get a salary
floor?
Can we
listen to him? Could we use it to get a salary floor so that I could make a little bit more money than my minimum over here, Mr. $330 million, never think about money again in your life forever? Like, I don't know. Can you? That's all that I think is being asked of here. Can you look at the bigger picture and instead of just using that word cap to immediately get offended and think that it automatically means less money for players? I don't know that it means that because, oh, by the way, you don't have a cap now and half the league is not spending crap on anyone. If you could get all of those teams spending a little bit too, I think I could pretty quickly argue that this would be good for players.
Depends on which teams you're talking about. And I'm just looking at Detroit where they've got Baez and Flaherty making 25. You've got Alex Cobb, friend of the program, making 15 and Glaber, the Glaybomb's making 15, Scoobal's making 10, so Detroit's at least spending
a little bit,
and they're winning, but you know, other teams, that's the problem, where you got the A's, and you've got the Rays traditionally, and the Marlins, and the Pirates. These teams, they have no incentive to spend. You know, you find a bunch of young guys, maybe you make a cute little run once or twice, then you trade them all off, and then you start it all over.
Is that incentive, though? Is that the incentive?
Well, the incentive is to make money.
You got Ichiro at his Hall of Fame speech literally saying and making a joke that when the Miami Marlins called and made him an offer, his first response was, I didn't even know that that was a team.
Wow, yeah.
He said that.
He was running material. He was
great.
He's
amazing.
Yep.
Has anybody in the world ever not loved Ichiro? Like, unbelievable.
I saw a stat yesterday. They did all of the 3,000 hit players with their grand total of hits before the age of, I want to say, 26, or it might have been 28, and he had zero. He had no hits.
Zero.
And, there's Musial, and there's, Tris Speaker, and Hornsby and Cobb and Rose and all these guys, and you get all the way to the bottom, zero.
Zero.
No hits, a hit.
It's like the Giants with runners in scoring position.
That was too soon.
Zero hits.
They actually had four last night.
I know they did.
Four hits with runners in scoring position.
I know.
And not enough.
Not enough. We're gonna need five.
Yep.
It's like Ocean's 11. You want to get one more? I get you one more.
Yeah.
I have breaking news.
Oh.
I do.
You do?
I do. No, don't hit the thing, because it's not that kind of breaking news. Like, Kuminga didn't sign.
Okay.
What? He didn't. David Lombardi's going to join us in a half hour.
All right.
David Lombardi is done. Yeah.
Totally.
Done for the day out at Niners camp. And we're going to talk some things out with David Lombardi of the SF Standard coming up at 4:15. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good, 888-957-9570. Speaking of Kuminga,